is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 884. My name on Hot Wednesdays is Lisa Sheps, and speaking of Hot Wednesdays, I'd like to introduce my guest co-host, Miss Kathleen Fletcher.
Ooh, and Kathleen Fletcher loves Lisa Sheps.
Likewise. You're listening to the two of us on KOOP HB HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah. I looked at you. It is Wednesday, July 9th, 2026. On the show today, we have the Stage Austin and their show, Fool for Love. And later on, we'll be talking to the City Theater Company and their production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Istanbul, and Point North. Stick with us. A lot of people don't know that Istanbul is the Broadway of Turkey.
Well, now I know. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Well, you said it with conviction.
Yep. Kathleen Fletcher, welcome to the show. Welcome to co-hosting.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Tell my listeners, not that they don't know, but tell them who you are.
Ooh, okay. So I'm a local actor, a playwright, someone who has cats, and lives here in Austin. I grew up in Austin. I lived in New York for 12 years, and I've been back for about five.
New York City or the other one?
New York City, okay. Not Istanbul.
Okay. Well, you know, Istanbul used to be Constantinople, and New York used to be New Amsterdam.
Oh, okay. I actually knew that.
That's the thing.
It is a thing. We could go into history.
Yeah, and we should say that Kathleen is, you know, she's not blowing her own horn quite enough. She is an amazing actor. Oh. She is an award-winning actor, and she is also an amazing playwright, as we have just recently discovered with your recent piece called
Take Care of My Friend.
I can say I need your help, friend, or something.
Take Care of My Friend,
which just had a run that Broad Theater did.
Close, that Filigree Theater. But it was at Hyde Park Theater, where Broad Theater also does shows.
Oh, Mir. Sorry.
Well, I know, Vias Mia.
Why did I think it was Broad? Oh, I know why.
Because I'm abroad.
No, because, yep. Well, okay.
I'm abroad.
We don't use language like that on this show. Yes, we do. Well, I'm happy to have you here as our my guest co-host. It's a little intimidating because you're so much smarter than
Oh, goodness, that's not true.
It's 100% true. Let's introduce the voices that you've been hearing in the background. A veteran of the show who hasn't been on in so long, Jeff Hinkle. Welcome back to Offstage on the Air.
Hey, Lisa. Thank you for having me. It's always so wonderful seeing you. I've missed you beyond belief.
Likewise. And Patrick Wheeler.
That's me. Hello, everybody.
So that song that we just heard was from a show called Do Re Mi. You probably knew that, Jeff.
Sure.
Did you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought you did. Did you know it, Kathleen? Patrick?
No, but I know that when we sing, that's what we began with.
That's true. Boy, you know what? It took me a while to get there, but I got there eventually. It's from a show called Do Re Mi. It's called Fireworks. And I played that because last week I did nothing about the 4th of July on the show. So this week I thought I'd acknowledge that the 4th of July happened. Did y'all have a good 4th? Anybody do anything fun?
I watched Independence Day. With the aliens.
Oh, my God. Interesting.
It was great.
Interesting choice.
It was. And then my neighborhood always does a ton of fireworks.
My neighborhood normally does, too. It's like a war zone. But this year, not so much. It was pretty amazing.
Hmm. I saw the fireworks from work. I worked all night. Worked till about midnight.
Oh, my God. Do you
downtown.
Work in service?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And hospitality, we like to call that. Good. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
We just hang out with friends and family and stuff like that.
No, I don't have any of those.
I will be your friend and family.
I'm your friend forever.
That's good. Well, I didn't get invited to your thing. I wouldn't have left. I feel it's important to maintain my dog's sanity during fireworks. And as it turns out, it was a non-event at my house this year. That's good. Also, this is the beginning. Well, not the beginning. It is hot season. This is the part of the year that I start complaining and I don't stop until the end of October.
But you know what? You look so cool.
Okay. You know, looking cool is more important than feeling cool. I would like to take this moment to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful international folk bazaar. And I don't remember his guest's name, but she was amazing. And she's from my old town of Chicago. So it was always nice to hear that very distinct Chicagoan accent on the air. So that was a great show. Also, I should say, because I got Jeff Hinkle on the air today, that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or staff. It's just our crazy opinions. And there, with that being said, let's talk about some of the happenings of the day. Not, I mean, this is still in a time of theater that is kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. Crickets, crickets, crickets. And yet stuff has happened. The biggest thing that hit the news today, which we've known about this for a while, but suddenly, I don't know why today seemed to be the day, but it's all over the place. Maybe because she made a video about it, but it's talking about I know why. They're announcing, and of course I'm talking about, you know this already, Dolly Parton's musical, which they changed the name. It used to be it used to be called something Hello Dolly. It was a take on Hello Dolly.
You know, I love it. So, because she had 9 to 5, we got Hello Dolly.
It's not Hello Dolly anymore.
No, I know, but it's got the same name until they changed it.
That's true. Now it's called Dolly, a true original musical. And it starts previews on December 7th at the St. James Theater and then opens on January 19th, which happens to be, and y'all probably knew this, that's Dolly Parton's birthday.
Mm. Ooh, in honor of.
How old do you think she's going to be on January 19th?
81.
Did you know that?
Wait, is that what it is?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really good at guessing numbers.
Those of you watching on the webcam saw me do a double take over to Kathleen because I thought she might have done it. But yes, it had a production of it in Nashville last year. This is directed by Bartlett Shear. Or I like to call him Bartlett Shear.
Sure, why not?
I just don't like to pronounce his name properly.
I don't think you have to.
Well, yeah, he'll call me if he has a problem.
Lissa Sheps.
Yes. So it has a whole bunch of her old songs like Jolene, I Will Always Love You, which, by the way, was written for a musical, kind of.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, it was written for a movie musical.
I was about to say if it was one of her movies.
It was Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, so good.
No, am I right? No, I'm right.
No, Jeff is shaking his head no. So
no, the movie. Yeah, no. She wrote something for the movie. I thought that was it.
Okay, well, you know what? We're saying that so.
We'll get emails.
We'll get lots
you're
of them.
You're allowed to talk. Shaking heads doesn't work on the radio.
She wrote it when I can't remember the guys she was a duo with on the Grand Ole Opry and tour, Porter Wagner, I think. She wrote it for him when they were
What's the song I'm thinking of? Nicole would know.
Sorry, I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan. Sorry.
I have worked with her.
What?
Ooh. Yeah, very, very, very nice person. So she collaborated on the book with Maria S. Schlatter, who, as you know, is Mr. and Mrs. Schlatter's kid.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. They have not announced casting, but when we're allowed to announce it, I will be playing Dolly in the show.
What song would you choose?
I can't say anything about it. Oh, I got to do them all because I'm playing Dolly.
Yeah, listen up, everybody.
Oh, and did I mention that they're writing new songs for this as well? Or they've written new songs for this? Yeah.
And we have to wait till December for previews?
Yeah, for previews. December 7th, I believe, is 4 days after Ground Floor Theater opens A Strange Loop.
Ooh.
Shameless plug. Here's an interesting article that happened in the newspaper of record. It's an article written by John Freeman Gill. It's talking about the Gramercy Arts Theater. Do you know that theater?
Well, I remember Gramercy.
Gramercy Arts Theater is down in Gramercy.
In Gramercy.
Yeah. And it is 111 years old.
Incredible.
It's like 3 years older than me.
Well, that's how you've known Dolly Parton her whole life.
Yeah. So there's an interesting story talking about a woman named Carmen Rivera, who was a high school junior at the time in 1981. She went to go see a Spanish-speaking play at the Gramercy Arts Theater on East 27th Street. And it was done by Repertorio Español. Do you know Repertorio Español?
I hope you keep looking at me and I can say no.
Well, you know, you're the New Yorker here.
I'm the New Yorker here.
You're the New Yorker here.
I'm standing here.
Anyway, I worked for Repertorio Español. And interestingly enough, I had a conversation about this company yesterday.
Oh.
They had a talk back. And Robert Weber Federico, who's the associate producer, who I knew and worked with and called Federico at the time. It's all about me. He said during this talk back, he says, if any of you want to write a play, send it to us. 13 years later, Carmen Rivera did that. And it was a play called La Gringa. Mm. And they produced it in 1996 and has been performed ever since.
That's incredible.
It is the longest running off-Broadway Spanish language play in the city.
That is 30 años.
Sí, muy bien.
Gracias.
But this is a delightful little theater. And this, what was really fun about this article is they talked about the history of the building. So it was, it came to life in the mid-1800s. Mm. It was a dwelling of an upper middle class family. And then an interesting thing happened in New York in Gramercy. So if those people that don't know York, this is the 20s, like the 20s on the east side of New York. And the trains came through and there's a big train depot right there. And that created what we refer to now as white flight, and people left.
Mm-hmm.
And the place went into... other things. And so a coat maker did business in there on the ground floor and had renters upstairs. And then in 1891, the Welsh Baptist Tabernacle took it over and turned it into a church. And then it was also followed by other churches. The first Swedish Baptist Church. I'm so old. I mean, I'm so young. I don't remember. I remember the third Swedish National Church.
But
I
made
that
first.
Up. And then the Greek Holy Trinity Church. And then a local chapter of the Order of Alhambra. But some of the things that happened to it, they cleaned out the second floor and they created a little balcony and everything. And so it was on its way to kind of being a theater anyway.
Another house of worship.
And then, and I think I have, do I want to read this?
Yes.
Yes, I do. No, I don't.
No.
Anyway, they call it in 1914. Quoting the article, a gadfly impresario named Butler Davenport signed a 10-year lease and transformed it into what New York Times called Manhattan's tiniest theater.
Mm. I bet that's an exaggeration. I've been in Manhattan. There are some tiny spaces
in that era. In that era, probably not.
Okay, you're probably right.
So I know when I've been, you know, off Broadway plays, I've played in tinier spaces. And then that was called the Bramhall Playhouse, and that opened in 1915. And then one of Mr. Davenport's favorite playwrights was Mr. Davenport.
Oh, good. Hey, one of my favorite playwrights is Kathleen Fletcher.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And he says, and quote, and he frequently starred in his own works, which one reviewer said could be, quote, tedious, unintentionally amusing, and nasty. But he won admirers for his decision in 1923 to stop charging admission and passing the hat for donations instead. So that was quite ahead of his time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So he died in 1958. It was bought by a real estate developer, renamed it the Gramercy Arts, And I think Repertorio Español moved in, doesn't say when, but sometime around there. I'm pretty sure that I was in that building because we rehearsed in there. But they're talking about some other theaters of that era that didn't make it. And I didn't realize that the Sullivan Street Playhouse is no more. It hasn't been for a long time. And that Sullivan Street Playhouse was where the Fantastics played for 42 years.
Oh, my goodness.
In 2005, it was turned into a condo.
Did you say a convent?
Condo.
Oh, condo.
Yeah, one of the apartments, apartment 3H, is a convent.
Yeah, there you go. Bring them in.
Anyway, very interesting article, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I love going through the history of New York and the way spaces change over time, you know, making it whatever it needs to be, except for a condo.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. So everybody lives in New York. You live in brownstones. And in the 70s and 80s, when I lived there, you know, on the Upper West Side, all these brownstones were single family homes that they then chop up into individual mm-hmm. apartments. And it's really very interesting. And then every now and then you're walking on the street in New York on the Upper West, and you see, you know, you'll see the brownstones, and outside are the buzzers. And there's like five buzzers or so. And then every now and then you see a brownstone that only has one doorbell. And you go, oh my God, that's still a single family home.
Yes.
That's got to be
good
cool.
for them.
Yes. Here's an interesting thing. Anybody a United flyer? Anybody fly United?
My brother worked there for 25 years.
Oh, well, good. Well, now he can use his Mileage Plus rewards to buy Broadway theater tickets.
Nice.
Okay, let's go. This is the thing about alternate forms of paying.
Now, this is something I didn't know because I don't think it was there when I lived in New York. Audience rewards. Do you know audience rewards?
Sure. You go see shows, you get rewards.
Do you know that? Or are you just being facetious?
I don't want to be facetious. I'm just using my power of deduction.
Yes. Well, I thought maybe. So there's an awards program for Broadway. So you can get points for going to see shows. So now you can get points on your audience rewards for flying, and flying rewards can buy you Broadway tickets.
Okay. I'm curious about that partnership. Yeah.
And this I did not understand. This I did not know existed. And the reason why I mentioned the audience rewards, because this spring, this will be very exciting to everybody. Audience rewards won a Loyalty 360 award.
Because people are loyal around the world.
As you know, the Loyalty 360 awards are the Tony Awards of loyalty programs.
Yes! I'm so honored. Thank you to my agent, to my friends.
Everybody knew that. And by agent, you mean your travel agent.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that. Okay. And now here's something else I didn't know. And you've been in New York since I have. Did you know there was a hot dog in Times Square? A big hot dog statue a few years ago?
I know of the big pigeon statue on the High Line.
No, this is a hot dog. It debuted in 2024. I think you were gone.
Gone by then. But I would take a picture with it.
It was a big hot dog statue. There's a picture in the article. You can go to Offstage On Air. Oh, no. There's a picture right here.
Yes.
I'll show it to the studio audience.
Excellent.
A big hot dog that sat in Times Square. And it's coming back. And evidently, at some point in the day, every day, the hot dog, which is lying horizontally as a hot dog would, it's on some kind of hydraulics, it goes up, so it's pointing upward, and
that's what I was hoping for,
in ways that we cannot talk about here. And
no.
It gets worse, folks. Confetti
something
comes
out.
Out of the top.
Well, that's what happens with hot dogs.
Yeah. Yes, it does. So I just find that fascinating. It is 65 feet long.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Holy pig.
Yeah.
Because it's a hot dog.
Yeah. We can take this conversation and go into our conversation that we were having off air earlier.
Yeah.
But we won't.
You could guess.
Our listeners will just have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Checking the time. All right. We don't have a whole bunch more time. So RIP Louise Lasser.
R.I.P.
She passed away. Do y'all know who Louise Lasser was?
Jeff does.
I know the name, and I'm trying to remember where
I know
it from.
Well, she's most known. She was not known for Broadway. But she was most known for Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Yeah.
And she was also in a lot of Woody Allen films, and she was, for a time, married to him. But I loved Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Did you see it, Jeff?
I did. And, you know, that was one my mom wasn't really wanting us to watch. So my brother and I would kind of sneak to watch. Yeah.
Here's a picture of her. This is when she was younger.
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah.
All right.
But interestingly enough, so of course we're about theater here. She didn't do really any theater, but in 1962, she understudied a 20-year-old actor named Barbara Streisand.
I've heard of her.
In the musical I Can Get It For You Wholesale. And then she took over the role for a while when Streisand left.
Shoes to fill.
Yeah. She did a lot of commercials. She is the first actress to win a Clio Award, which, as you know, the Clios are the Tonys of advertising.
I was about to say of airline miles.
Which is true. The Clios are the Tonys of advertising. Anyway, may she rest in peace. I like Louise Lasser. You would recognize her if you saw her, even you, Patrick.
Well, I'm looking at her now on the
Patrick
screen.
Patrick is nodding for those of you not watching on the webcam. All right. Here's an interesting thing as well. Let's go back to theater, shall we?
Yes, let's.
And we talked about this once before. Anne Frank the Musical.
Ooh. I know. I was like, I don't want to make a joke.
I'm of such mixed emotions about this because this is a provocative storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It tells the Anne Frank story. Well, I will read this from the article. This is an article from Rolling Stone written by Frank DiGiacomo.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. So presents Anne Frank as a pansexual Latina with a black mother, a neurodivergent gay father, and an ultra-Orthodox Jewish sister, and a gender-fluid love interest as they hide from the Nazis.
Wow.
So they've taken a lot of flack for this and I'm of mixed emotions because it is satire and it's not meant to be disrespectful, but it's, you know, doing it in a disrespectful way, I guess. It is a musical. I don't know. Does anybody have any feelings about it? As a Jewish person and as a person that has some real heartfelt connection to Anne Frank,
yeah.
I bristle at it, but at the same time, I welcome non-conventional satire on some of the things. I don't know. I loved Book of Mormon.
Oh, same. Saw that one in previews, Humble Brag.
Saw the original Humble Brag. Very good friends of the Tony Award winning orchestrator.
Ooh, okay.
Humble Brag.
Humble Brag.
Who has been on this show?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But so I think for me, when it comes to this question of satire, always the reason why now, what is the message they're trying to convey and how it ties back into this story.
And I would say it's interesting to me, you know, that when they rediscovered some of the pages from her diary that her father didn't allow to be published. And I got to I don't know if they're all of them, but I immediately got the newest copy and I read it. And I would be interested because one of the things he hid from was some of her kind of bisexual longing that she had.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I would be interested. I'm also interested if anybody's going to update the play to kind of include some of that or not to make it a little more realistic. I don't know if that impacts the play. I find that kind of interesting. I also am like Kathleen. I'm like, why now? What are you trying to say right now?
Yeah. Well, this was, it's called Slam Frank, by the way.
Oh.
And they saw a viral Twitter thread that asked, and seriously asked, whether Frank ever acknowledged her white privilege. And that's such a ridiculous thought that caused them to write that. By the way, the people that wrote it are Jewish. Not that that means anything. So I will say that the reason why it is in the news right now is they have released a cast album that is available on their website. It's a crowdfunding thing. So anyway, it's interesting. Also, the other thing I will just say right here is this quote, which I just want to bring up for discussion. which, see if you agree with this. Musical theater is the last truly punk rock revolutionary art form. Anybody agree with that statement?
Jaw dropped if we say it's the only one.
Yeah, I don't agree with that statement.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, musical theater is a lot of things.
It is. Well, and if we're talking Broadway, it's got to be commercial as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, so yeah. Not very punk rock.
I have to disagree with that. All right. We have to go on or we're not going to have any time. The last thing I want to talk about is this article, and I can't talk about it much. It's in the New York Times, and the headline caught my attention, and I'm now looking for it on my
iPad?
Yeah, the iPad.
Yeah.
And I can't find it. There it is. The headline is The 10 Most Mind-Altering Theater Moments of 2026 So Far,
ooh,
written by Helen Shaw. And it's the 10 moments for her I just closed it.
Now we're in
it.
Dropbox.
We just closed it.
This is one of the more amazing moments.
Oh, no. And I didn't name it the right thing. I can't remember what I called it.
Do you want to make some moments up?
Yeah, I will. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not going to go through them. And the only reason why I decided to talk about it all right now is because the last thing on her list was The Lost Boys. And I'm going to read this in full. She's talking about The Lost Boys. And what this was, she talked about these shows and moments in the shows that made her jaw drop or lost her mind or whatever. This is obviously Michael Arden's production that just is currently playing, right?
Definitely currently playing.
Okay. Our hero, Michael, has just been unknowingly inducted into the undead lifestyle, and his new friends take him onto a high railroad bridge. One by one, the vampires terrify Michael by dropping into a thick fog, and we assume that Michael will have to fall too. Instead, Bennett simply pushes backward into a soft gray void. He doesn't fly exactly, he stays. It's a wholly serene image, one as rapturous as Renaissance Ascension painting, and perhaps the most perfect stage picture on Broadway this year. But it's also a moment I thought back on with real wistfulness. If only I could have lived it forever, then the show might never have grown old.
Beautifully written, by the way.
Beautifully written. And I should say they're talking about the technical runnings of the show.
Yes.
Sure.
So there's a lot of flying in the show.
I had a friend who saw it and was specifically talking about the actors falling back and even being able to watch them based off of where she was sitting. And like they get off the padding and go running around for their next entrance.
Yeah.
I love
it. Amazing. So we will take a break. We're going to listen to Superpower from The Lost Boys. We'll be right back. I don't know what hit me. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on Co-op Radio with me, Lisa Sheps, and you,
Kathleen Fletcher.
Yep. And we're going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're there. And Kathleen, you'll take your co-host hat off and you become a guest.
I will. I'm so versatile.
You are. So this is the Stage Austin's production of Fool for Love, directed with a great, wonderful
genius
by Jeff Hinkle.
Hi, Lisa.
Also, I don't know what you're are you the artistic director of the Stage Austin, the founding artistic director?
Yeah, I am. And it's interesting, you know, you have a theater. It's interesting when you're trying to run a theater how much you don't do theater when you're trying to keep it going. But
I say usually about 3% of your time is spent doing that. And two of the actors, Kathleen Fletcher.
Yay!
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. First time here today.
And Patrick Wheeler, welcome back.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
Okay, this is A Fool for Love by someone named Sam Shepard.
Heard of her.
Love.
Heard of her, yeah. Samantha Shepard, well known. Jeff, what is this show, Fool for Love? Wait, is it somebody that's in love and is acting foolishly?
Yes.
Okay,
two
good.
People
Thank
are
you
in love.
Being on the show.
To get, that's it, bye. Right.
Tell us about Sam Shepard's Fool for Love.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but it's two people who've had a past relationship and they're coming together in a hotel room. There's a lot of complications, a lot of family complications. a lot of things we've explored together, especially with this incredibly brilliant cast. They're so much smarter than I am. So I'm like, oh my God, everything they say, I'm like, oh, I got to write that down and write a novel about it. But really kind of exploring issues of addiction. And one of the things that's big for me is kind of repeating the trauma of your parents. It's very, very intense. It's also, there are some really, really fine and funny moments, and really just a lot of truth. And I'm every rehearsal, I'm pretty stunned at his writing, because you can look at it and just kind of, it's pretty simple. And then as you kind of start pulling it apart and working on it, you're like, oh my goodness, the depths are there. And it's a lot of fun. I'm not doing a great job of describing it.
No, you did a great job. That Sam Shepard might go somewhere.
I think he might have a future.
He might work. Yeah.
He's dead.
Were you in Chicago when Shepard was in Chicago?
I don't know. He never came over to my house.
I'm just learning now that you were from Chicago. I know he had a stint there with Steppenwolf.
With Steppenwolf? Yeah. I do not know. I have to say, I don't know.
That's cool.
Well, great. So this is this a, as we call in the business, a two-hander?
It's a four-hander.
It's a four-hander.
Which is four people.
Thank you for clarifying.
One less than five.
So there are four. Who else is in the cast?
We have Michael Stewart. I don't know if you know that guy. He's been around Austin for a little bit. he's in it. He's always a treat to work with and a treat to watch on stage. And
I've never seen him act. I know
have
him more
really
as a director.
Not?
No.
Really?
He's incredible. I grew up in Austin, and I remember seeing him all the time and fanning out. Mm.
Yeah, I stalk him. I mean, he hasn't got a restraining order yet. But anyway,
two confessions on offstage and on the air.
And then we have Justin Laverne, who's one of my one of my dear friends. He's actually the head of the theater at Anderson High School.
Okay.
And doing the teacher gig, he doesn't have a lot of time to do plays, so he hasn't got to act for quite some time. But he's wonderful, and he's just a sweetheart, and the great dynamics between everybody.
Wonderful. So this is being done at the Stage Austin. And why this show? Why right now for the stage?
Well, do you want the truth or you want something kind of
you choose.
Well, I actually
we're not big on the truth here on Offstage and on
yeah,
the air.
So it's because of the dragons.
Yes. Yeah. I was being attacked by dragons. No, actually I've been in awe of Kathleen Fletcher for years. I have.
Exactly. And, get in line.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in line.
And she's one of my favorite actresses I've ever seen on stage in Austin, and I think she's just a delightful person. And I'm friends with Patrick, and I've got to direct Patrick in a few shows, and he basically brought the script to me and goes, "What would you think about us doing that with, you know, Kathleen and I in these roles?" And I was like, why? And I tried to act like I was like cool and calm. I was like, well, that might be a cool idea. But at the same time, I was like tap dancing and cabbage patching and doing all my bad dance maneuvers. And then he mentioned Michael Stewart was interested in playing one of the roles. And I was like, that is like a cast that most people would like. I actually did. Yeah. I gave half my liver to Patrick so that I could have this cast to work with him. And so from that point on, I kind of presented it to my board and kind of we talked about it. And I kind of felt like it would be, one, just a great thing to kind of drop in the lap of Austin, and then also a great thing for us to work on, and a great opportunity to work with these people all together.
Great, wonderful. And just as a side note, or as I like to call it, a side tangent, livers regenerate, so you're good.
Good! That way you can hire more amazing people in the future.
So, Kathleen, tell us about your role. What is the name of your character? What is this person all about?
Okay, so my character is May, and she is so juicy, and I fall more in love with her every single day. She has a lot of strength in her, but she also has her vulnerabilities, like any nuanced character. She really explored her addiction a lot, both in terms of her addiction to alcohol, but also her addiction to this ex-lover of hers, where she is fighting against both of them and the ways in which she's drawn back in. It's very real.
It's a lot.
It
yeah.
is a lot, mm-hmm. But she's also so, so funny. And she just gets these moments of ferocity. And I keep saying to my mom, shout out Pam Fletcher Friday, Yay, Pam. That I get to do so many things that I don't always get to do in the theater, and that she is not me at all. So, like, I get to be violent. I get to be sexual. I get to be
addicted. That would frighten me. Yeah. Not you being sexual.
But May. Yeah, no, it's just so much fun to step into someone else's life and be there and play with this fantastic cast.
Yeah. And Patrick, tell us about...
I get to play
Are
Eddie.
You April?
Yeah, oh, Eddie. I'm yeah. Eddie. Eddie is passionate and he's flawed. And again, yeah, he cares so much. And he's got a lot of bravado and he's got a lot of that, you know, machismo, you know, manliness to him. But he is incredibly sensitive and he hides a lot of hurt. And he's very caring. But, you know, he's also has different addictions and he deals with his addictions in different ways than May. And he wants very different things than May, but they have a history, good and bad, and they care for each other. But, you know, it's a lot about can he survive them, and can he survive himself, and can she survive herself?
Amazing. And y'all are going to do a short scene for us, yes?
We are.
Does it need to be set up? Jeff, you want to set it up?
I think we should just let y'all go for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, folks. This is Kathleen Fletcher and Patrick Wheeler doing a scene from the stage Austin's production of Fool for Love.
How many times have you done this to me, Eddie?
Done what?
Suckered me into some dumb fantasy life and dropped me like a hot rock. How many times has that happened?
It's no fantasy.
It's all a fantasy.
And I ain't dropped you neither.
No, you just disappeared.
I'm here now, ain't I?
Oh, praise Jesus God.
I'm gonna take care of you, man. I am. I'm going to stick with you no matter what. I promise.
Get out of here.
What you have to go run off for anyway?
Run off? Me?
Yeah. Why couldn't you just stay put? You knew I was coming back to get you.
What do you think it's like sitting in a tin trailer for weeks on end with the wind ripping through it? Waiting around for the butane to arrive? Hocking down to the laundromat in the pouring rain? Do you think that's thrilling or something?
I bought you all them magazines.
What magazines?
Right before I left, I got you a whole stack of them fashion magazines. I thought you liked those. The French kind.
Yeah. Oh, I especially like the one with the Countess on the cover. That was real cute. Scene.
I was enrapt.
Yay.
I said, what fun. So where does this take place? I'm guessing somewhere in the South.
In a seedy... dirty, hot motel on the outside of the Mojave Desert.
Okay. Yeah, that's my favorite place. My family used to have a vacation there.
Well, you can go back.
Sounds like I may. I have.
You can, yeah.
I actually almost had a car accident in the Mojave Desert.
Oh,
that
no.
Matters.
Oh.
Don't I go back to that.
Oh, no, it's fine. It would have been totally my fault. Totally my fault. Whole nother story. Yeah, that sounds amazing. And is that the pace that we can expect when we come see it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got some pacing.
It really, like, the way I talk about it to people is you are coming in, it's about 65 minutes, and your foot is on the gas pedal the whole time.
That's why I almost got in an accident in the Mojave Desert.
Well, we'll do the brakes, okay?
Yeah, so 65 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's we like those.
Mm-hmm. I like them.
We like those. There's in, out.
Yeah,
we've lost our we as Americans have lost our ability to sit for 4 hours and watch theater.
I know.
Michael Stewart and I were talking about that last night. I remember when I was doing Shakespeare as an actor, you just knew if you were doing a drama, you're in a 3 hour, you know, maybe 3:10. And if you were doing a comedy, 2:45.
Hours was the beginning.
Yeah. And there's this, I mean, I've been hired to direct places and they'll even tell me, you got to cut this to 1:45. I'm like, you sure I got to cut Hamlet to 1:45? I'll do my best, you know.
Well, that only cuts
Wordsworth
60%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Words.
I was in a like 3+ hour Cyrano a couple years ago, so I hear it with length.
Well, that's amazing. We're running out of time. Is there anything more you want to highlight about this show? Is there anything, are you taking any kind of interesting take on it? Are we actually in a motel room on set?
We are in a motel room. And I would say the most interesting take that I found, you know, I don't really ever watch anybody else's production, but I like
no,
to...
No, you haven't been in any of mine.
Oh, I haven't got to... you know, I've been doing the school teacher...
I'm teasing. You always come to mind.
No, my heart is broken. For the last 2.5 years, I've been doing the school teacher gig, and it is impossible to do anything other than during the summer. But one of the things I find interesting when I've read other directors' kind of takes on the show is I think we are... really hitting some of the moments that usually are sometimes glossed over as a fight. We're definitely hitting those as moments of revelation. And mm-hmm. I think that's a real interesting way that the show is being presented.
Wonderful. When do you open?
We open this Friday, July 10th.
July 10th. And when do you close?
4 weeks on a Sunday, August 2nd.
August 2nd.
Yeah. August 2nd. Oh my gosh, I remembered.
I'll tell you, you're right. And here's the big test. Where can folks go to get more information?
StageAustin.com.
It's also
TheStageAustin. I'm old.
You know, you should ask the artistic director.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he doesn't know anything.
Well, great. Thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And best of luck. I hope I get 65 minutes to come and see it.
I hope you do too. I'll take care of ground floor when you see it.
Okay, you got a deal. wonderful. Well, that was Jeff Hinkle, Kathleen Fletcher, and Patrick Wheeler, all of the Stage Austin's production of Fool for Love, playing July 10th through August 2nd at the Stage Austin. For more information, you may visit thestageaustin.com, and we are going to go out with a beautiful little fool from The Great Gatsby. We'll be back. Let my girl be a fool. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Kathleen. That was a fun conversation. So Kathleen is no longer a guest. She's now the co-host. And we're posing for a picture.
Picture.
Okay. So let's just get, we're going to go through our local stuff pretty quickly, but I do want to take a moment, to just, we lost a member of our Austin theater community, 2 days ago, I think. David Blackburn, who's a musical director here in town, passed away. I worked with David a whole bunch. He and Barbara Schuler founded and ran the Austin Theater Project that did a whole bunch. They're very prolific in doing musicals. And David was just a sweetheart, and he will be missed by the entire theatrical community. Has anybody else worked with him that's in here? Jeff Hinkle, you can have the microphone if you want to say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. David and I were great friends, and I might cry. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, when I got hired to do my first musical, you know, like all my training's in doing Shakespeare and the modern American drama. I'd never done a musical. And he was my music director for the first one. I learned a lot from him. And then I got to be kind of one of the main directors at ATP. And so
that's what you did.
Yeah, and I worked with David a lot. And I really loved him, even though, you know, sometimes in theater, you wrestle. And so we had some wrestling matches at some times. But, but yeah, no, I'm really going to miss him. And he's just a staple of kind of the Austin theater community. It's
heartbreaking. He had a lot of health problems leading up to it. And I don't know the cause of death, but he was not very old when he passed. So rest in peace, David. The Austin theater scene and Austin in general will miss you. And now we're going to go to our little calendar. And I did not prep you for this, but we turn the page.
Calendario.
Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to, I do one, then you do one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you ready?
Done.
Here we go. Georgetown Palace Theater has got Every Brilliant Thing through July 19th.
Zach Theater, Annie, through August 2nd.
Different Stages got Stage Blood. They were on the show last week. They're playing through July 11th.
Oh, I've heard of this next one. It's the Stage Austin's Fool for Love from July 10th through August 2nd.
Inspired Minds out in Buda has got The Wizard of Oz, July 11th through the 26th.
And then TechSart's got Rock of Ages from July 10th through August 9th.
And then Fresh Squeeze Ounce of Opera is the 17th through the 25th over at Dada Labs.
Emma Davis's I'm Gonna Marry You, Toby Maguire is from July 10th through the 18th.
And I should say that's at Ground Floor Theater.
Oh, yeah, we love that place.
Me too. Broadway in Austin has Anne Juliet the 14th of July through the 19th. I will be seeing that on Tuesday.
Oh, nice. Spoilers. And then this next one is extra exciting. It's City Theater's A Midsummer Night's Dream from July 24th through August 9th.
Great. Woo-hoo. And I'm going to take this last part myself. We're just going to go through the auditions real quick. Awesome. TechSart's got Boing Boing and the Winter Wonderettes. Those auditions are on the 19th. Mary Moody Northern Theater has equity principal auditions for a whole bunch of shows. She Kills Monsters, Alice, Enemy of the People, and Laughs in Spanish. Those auditions are the 13th. Different Stages is auditioning for Something Wicked This Way Comes on July 20th. And Speedrun Studios is doing a production of Little Women. Those auditions are on the 24th. And Walking Shadow Shakespeare has Henry V Part 2, or as they call it, Henry 5.2, on August 2nd. And now, I'm going as quickly as I can. Today on Theater History, you ready for that?
Yes.
I'm going to blast through it very quickly.
blast through the past.
We had three birthdays. Allison Fraser, who is a performer. I'll never be able to pronounce this name. Maybe somebody can help me. Martin Paklidenis.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I believe it. I believe it.
He's a, he is, I assume he's, well, he was born in 53, so I'm assuming he's still around, is a costume designer. And Billy Crudup. His birthday is today.
Oh, happy birthday.
We had Seven Brides for Seven Brothers opening in 1982.
Wait, really?
That would be the revival.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Sorry.
I was like, what?
It'd be the revival. May it rest in peace and never have another revival. Unless they do
some real
work
real
on the script.
Let's get some satire.
And Camelot had a revival that opened in 1980 with Richard Burton.
Ooh.
In a revival. He was also in the original in the 60s. But we're going to play Camelot from Camelot, but we're going to do the West End version. And this is not, oh my God, I thought I wrote it down who it was. This is not Richard Burton. This
yeah,
is,
it's the other one.
I think it's Richard Harris.
But still a Richard.
I know. We'll be right back.
A law was made a distant moon ago here.
We are back. July. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Kathleen. Mm-hmm. We are here on Co-op Radio 91.7 if you're listening on the radio. And our next guests, you've heard their little voices, but we didn't introduce them. So we're going to introduce them now. We have from the City Theater Company's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, we have the director, Adam Adolfo.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Adam. Good to see you. And then, are you ready?
I'm ready.
One of the performers, Trey Taylor Lucanati.
Oh, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Lucanati. I went to, with axolotl in my brain.
That's
They're
a good
so
one.
Cute.
I haven't heard that one.
Totally went with the axolotl. Okay, Midsummer Night's Dream. I've never heard of it.
So this little writer is rarely produced by the name of Billy Shakespeare.
Billy Shakes. We know
him. Yeah, yeah.
Shakespeare.
He's done some crazy stuff. Yeah. And we just thought a little fun for the summer. No big political statements, just a good night out at the theater where you can laugh, you can fall in love. I am a, you know, romantic rom-com nerd. So I was like, let's just have a little fun, have a little music, and really just get back to old school storytelling. So it's radically re-envisioned, or so they keep telling me. We're just sort of asking a generalized question. If Shakespeare were to do karaoke, what would he sing? And that's sort of the basis of the entire show. We've sort of integrated music from the last 100 years of pop music into Shakespeare's text.
Amazing. I need the answer to that question.
Not Britney Spears.
Okay, well, that narrows it down. And then one of my favorite roles in that show is a character named Puck. And Taylor, you're playing Puck.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
And I'm a little heartbroken that I wasn't asked to play the role, but
well,
I
reached out to your people and they never responded.
My people blow.
I need to thank your people.
Taylor, tell us about the role of Puck.
Puck, at his core, I think, is a trickster. He's a member of the Fae. He's described as a hobgoblin. And throughout the show, he transforms himself into many different forms. In this rendition, we're actually doing it where I also play Robin Starveling, who's a member of the Mechanicals, mm-hmm. As well as the Philistrate, who is
The Mechanicals, meaning the polite Mechanicals?
No.
The rude Mechanicals.
They're rather rude.
Sorry.
And obnoxious. Yeah. And loud.
Are we
Especially
all met?
Especially one of them.
Are we all met?
Especially one of them. But I also play the Philistrate, who is sort of the right-hand of Theseus.
Uh-huh.
So it's really interesting because I get to be the one who sort of brings the audience through the three primary different worlds of the show, which is a lot of fun and has been a great challenge that I've been happy to do.
Yeah. William Shakespeare, especially in his comedies, likes to have a Puck-like character.
Always. Mm-hmm.
An Ariel, if you will.
And
a little bit of magic goes a long way.
For the Tempest, we will, with an Ariel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the Tempest. It's one of Willie Shakespeare's that I like. Are we doing the Tempest somewhere?
I feel like it's. Did we read it?
I don't know.
I feel like it's kind of always in the mix.
We didn't read it in.
Hey, do you want to do it?
Yes, I do very
Done.
Much.
Hey, call me. I'll be happy to direct that
Actually,
one.
Actually, well, while we're talking about the Tempest, I did. There was a company that was doing it, and I've always wanted to play Trinculo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was set to audition, and I show up at the auditions, and they cancel the show.
No, let's make this happen.
I played
Sebastian. I'll reprise.
I played Antonio.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Between the people in this room, we can make this happen.
Come on,
Lisa.
I don't know anybody that runs theaters here in town.
Yeah. There's only two in this room.
So I love the take on this. So are you a singer as well, Taylor?
Yes. Yeah.
What's your karaoke song?
My go-to karaoke song is probably All of Me by John Legend.
Okay, ooh. And are you doing All of Me in this show?
Unfortunately not. Adam didn't let me. Didn't give me that one.
Tell me how the... I'd like to hear how the music finds its way into the show.
Ultimately, I approach this from a poetry standpoint. Who are our modern poets through poetry? What songs evoke storytelling from the character perspective? So we really have a diverse set of sounds. I mean, we do Mamas and the Papas. There's a little rap in the show. Peter Gabriel. We have some 80s Journey in there. So we sort of try to just find what fits a character and let it come out of their mouths.
Are we sitting there and Oberon's doing a soliloquy and then suddenly breaks out into My Way?
Mm-hmm. And then falls back into the text and out of it. Cool. Yeah. So we were really kind of excited.
So this is a 4-hour production.
No, we're in and out in 2 hours and 15 minutes with that intermission. So we were really excited by this. And the interesting thing is that we've been telling everybody this is not musical theater. These are not actors who sing suddenly beautifully. This is karaoke. They sing with energy and earnestness and beauty sometimes, but from a completely character point of view.
Yeah. You have a large cast.
Yeah, 17. And that's a tiny space.
I was talking to Andy, he stopped by the studio earlier, Andy Burkowski, who runs City Theater.
We love Andy.
And the space he's in now is double the space
of his previous space.
Yeah. And when I saw the cast, my mind goes to his previous place, which happens to be next door to this studio.
A hop, skip, and a jump.
Right on the other side of that wall.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. So it's a lot of fun. So where are you in the process right now? Because you don't open for a few weeks, right?
We open in, 2 weeks? Yes. Just about. We had our first run through of the first act last night, only ran an hour and 7 minutes. So we have it pretty tight already. So we're really
doing
excited.
It in 2 acts.
We are doing it in 2 acts.
It was originally written in 3,
5.
5.
Yeah.
5. That's 5 acts. Typical for Shakespeare, I feel like. Yeah.
So it's always fun going, okay, where are we going to do the act break? Because people need to go get a drink, need to stretch their legs and enjoy
and
the air conditioner.
To go to the powder room.
Powder
Adam.
Room. Or choose their next karaoke song. Probably inspired.
Yeah, so are we allowing the audience to join in this karaoke?
There's a conversation that one performance may be a sing-along.
Okay.
And these are songs that people will know. These are, they may not know every song. We found a beautiful song from opera, the Benjamin Britten opera version of A Midsummer Night's Dream that we have a sort of techno remix version of in the show. So there's a little bit of everything for everybody.
Opera to techno, yes.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And, directing a large cast, you do that a lot. You direct a lot of large cast shows.
I prefer to think of it as I direct a lot of ambitious shows.
Nice reframe.
Good. And, Taylor, are you a musical performer in general?
Yes, ma'am. I primarily do musical theater, but I've also done Shakespeare, modern drama, comedy. I try to keep it varied.
Okay. Well, cool. Unfortunately, we're plumb out of time. When does the show open?
We open on July 24th and run through August 9th.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information?
CityTheaterAustin.org.
Very good. A lot of people don't know that. I'm always ready. I do know it.
You know everyone's website.
Well, great. Thank you all so much for being on the show. I'm looking
Thanks
forward
for coming
to
out. We love coming out.
Okay, that was Adam Adolfo and Taylor. Oh, my God.
Lucanati.
Lucanati. I was going to say there's an Adi.
City Theater Austin's City Theater Company's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. For more information, you may go to citytheateraustin.org. And in honor of you, Adam, and in honor of Midsummer Night's Dream, I'm playing the Dream Ballet.
Oh, is that a pop cover?
From Dirty Oklahoma.
Ooh.
We love the Dirty Oklahoma.
Never saw it, wanted to.
I got the clean one.
This is the Dream Ballet from the 2021 version of Oklahoma. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Kathleen. And we only have time to say goodbye because we're running out of time.
The time.
Thank you so much for playing with me.
Thank you so much. I was just singing like, so long, farewell.
So long, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. But we have to make room for Tracy Schultz, who's coming up next, and he's going to tell you what's new on his show, which is called...
Tracy's Show.
What's new?
What's new? Is your name even Tracy? Did I mess that up? Okay,
it is,
cool.
It is Tracy. It's good. But thank you so much. Hopefully you'll come back and
gosh,
do this again.
Gosh, what a mitzvah. Such a blessing to be here with you.
Yeah, well, you're mishtuka.
You're mishpocha.
Yeah, no, you're mishtuka.
But you're my family.
Okay, so we are going to play, just in honor of how hot it is outside, we're going to play from 110 in the Shade.
Oh.
Raunchy. And we will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye. And Kathleen,
bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Adios.
Shayna Mayles, I should have said.
Dancing in my pink and green satin. Feeling like a queen. Wearing Maybelline. I'll be so raunchy.